Learned a lot of good lessons there, but ultimately decided that I wanted to do something else with my life.
This is the South Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your South Storage business. Your host, Scott Myers, over the past 18 years has acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated nearly 5 million square feet of South Storage nationwide. With the help of his incredible team at SouthStorageInvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in South Storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Self Storage Podcast. I am your host, Scott Myers, and on today's episode, we have Mr. Frank Hanna, who has achieved a fair amount of success in a number of different areas of real estate. We come from similar backgrounds, even though our paths are just a little bit different, and it's the manner in which he invests in real estate is the reason that I wanted to have him on the show, because, again, very similar to what we do, but different markets, a little bit of a different path, but I think you're going to enjoy what we have to say. So, Frank, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Excited to be here.
I am as well. As we were talking off camera, I'm really excited to share with Storage Nation a little bit about your story, your journey, and your path, and a couple other areas that that we're going to dive deep into. So with that, would you share a little bit about your background and how you got to the place, well, how you got started in real estate to begin with and to the place where you are right now?
Yeah, so I grew up in the kind of restaurant hospitality business. So mostly restaurants, a little bit of hotel boutique operations, and was doing more of day-to-day operations there instead of, you know, handling the overall real estate management. Learned a lot of good lessons there, but ultimately decided that I wanted to do something else with my life. And we had a small real estate portfolio at that point in time, which was at the beginning, single family homes that we were building and flipping. And then we kind of, you know, expanded on that and built a pretty nice residential multifamily portfolio that we ultimately got tired of the day-to-day headaches that came with that and started just doing tax-free 1031 exchanges with some of those assets and slowly expanded and diversified our portfolio into self-storage, you know, triple net lease, single tenant, you know, big name tenants, still do a lot of multifamily, and, you know, a variety of different asset classes. Around the same time as that was kind of taking off, we kind of identified a void in the marketplace for, I'd say, comprehensive financial guidance. So I'm a financial advisor by trade. So while we were kind of building our real estate portfolio, we were also getting pretty well-versed and packaging some pretty, I'd say, you know, strong resources to help people with, you know, estate, tax, trust, you know, traditional investment planning. So we truly consider ourselves independent and agnostic financial advisors, but we also now package a lot of sophisticated real estate deals in syndications and kind of offer them to the smaller investor that either, you know, doesn't want to deal with the day-to-day management of those assets, or, you know, maybe they want to invest in real estate and they just don't know where to start.
So what does that look like, Frank? Is that are you looking at like a fund of a fund model, or are you just truly, you know, bringing them along with you? Or are you truly just showing people different ways that they can invest in syndications?
So, you know, I would say we're kind of educating them on the benefits of, you know, pulling their money together to get access to, you know, a higher scale, more institutional type of deal. And then there's typically a strategy or a storyline with our deals. So I'd say a variety of our deals, we utilize a concept called a Delaware statutory trust, which is, you know, essentially a prepackaged passive investment real estate option that qualifies for a 1031 exchange. So we get a lot of investors that come to us strictly for looking for a 1031 exchange. Maybe they can't find the replacement property they need. Or again, maybe they're tired of the headaches of managing that property, so they'll invest in that type of deal. We'll have other deals that are really, tax driven in the sense of accelerated depreciation. So we'll package a few deals for real estate investors that are professionals, quote unquote, or maybe they are have enough passive income where they're looking for some tax deductions. So we'll have deals that are people are looking for that accelerated depreciation in the first year or first couple years. And then we have a lot of syndicated deals that are, you know, just have a good storyline behind them. And we're looking for some attractive tax favored, predictable, you know, mailbox money type deals. So I'd say those are the kind of the three storylines that we operate. We're pretty balanced through those different opportunities.
So let's talk through one of those scenarios. We have also a number of investors that have either invested with us in the past, they're coming out of a project, they got some gains, or they've got another business, another real estate transaction or project they were involved in that they cashed out of. They got some money, 1031 money available. However, they may not be able to find or want to do their own. And so grouping or coming together with a group of folks, a DST is an option for doing that, obviously. So let's first talk about the intricacies of that, or I should say how they go about doing it. And then I wanted to take a deep dive into, how we get the depreciation for either that project or others, you know, how we are able to package or what types of projects that you're looking to bring people into so that they can maximize their deductions in, say, the first year or the first three anyway.
So, as far as the 1031 exchange, if you decide to invest in a DST or a Delaware statutory trust, you still follow the same guidelines. So you need to connect with a qualified intermediary prior to settlement, get them the information they need, sign a contract. It's typically a minimal cost. And, they typically set up an insured escrow account that takes possession of the funds. So that's what needs to be done prior to settlement. And then at settlement, there's a clock that starts ticking. You have 45 days to identify a property or a DST or a combination of both to invest in, and the total of 180 days to reinvest those dollars. So with the DST, again, sometimes it's a first choice. Sometimes it's a complementary option to, cover some taxable boot if you can't make the numbers match up. Or sometimes it's just a backup plan if your hard real estate deal falls apart. But the same information that you typically would have to provide the qualified intermediary in terms of, pretty specific details on the property or the DST properties are what's required to put on that identification sheet and then sign that. A lot of times we'll step in and help the investor kind of fill that sheet out for the qualified intermediary. And then on the DST side of things, we've done our due diligence with the partners that we've put into place. So the DST may be available today. We've been working on it or reviewing it for 6 to 12 months to make sure it passes our criteria and guidelines where we think it's got a real high probability of success. So that DST is ready to go. At any given time, we probably have 15 plus deals available in a variety of different asset classes. Self-storage, multifamily, student housing, triple net lease, industrial, you name it. And we can walk through advantages and disadvantages of each deal. We list the deals. We can turn around. We can settle in 3 to 5 business days. There's no closing cost on the DST side of things. And, I'd say it's pretty clean and easy, but it's a right fit for certain investors and it's not the right fit for others.
Mm-hmm. So where do you fit then inside of the equity or the ownership piece of these deals? You got a number of folks coming in to these projects wanting to invest for the various reasons you mentioned, and then you've got it sounds like a number of other syndicators out there. So are you on the GP level with some of these folks, or where do you fit in?
Us specifically, or the investors?
You specifically.
So I'd say both. Most times we're a limited partner. We're investing alongside with our clients that are investing in the deal. So we have a truly passive investment role. We don't control any of the management. We don't control the decisions, and we just get a proportionate share based on the equity that we, offer or choose to invest. But we invest in almost all our deals because we want, we think it's important to have our interests aligned with our clients. So sometimes we do play a GP role if we're on like, you know, on the ground floor of an investment deal, sometimes we'll step in and play, you know, a primary role in that investment strategy. But I'd say more times than not, we're a limited partner alongside the investor. And then based on the total capital raise, whatever we or the investors choose to invest is your proportionate ownership in that deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now let's touch on some of the tax benefits in some of our projects that we syndicate or even within our fund. You know, we will set up classes of shares. So the folks that are coming in with cash that truly could benefit from the depreciation versus those that are using, say, a self-directed vehicle, you know, we'll bifurcate the shares so that all of the depreciation will go towards those folks that really need it. You know, how are you setting up your funds or the investments? Some folks that are coming in that same situation, similar fashion, different, or
yeah, very similar fashion. So yeah, you can invest cash in a DST or some of these other funds, obviously. But yeah, you get to participate in all the benefits that you get with real estate outright. So you get to, you know, participate in depreciation. We can write off deductions for amortization if there's loans associated with the property. If there's a value add component and there's dollars being reinvested, you know, that can offset some income for the investors. But typically, yeah, if you come in with a cash investor, you can get some pretty substantial depreciation deductions. If it's a 1031 investor, we've got to factor in their kind of carryover basis, and it's typically not as impactful, but it could still, you know, be effective.
Well, Frank, without sharing the recipe to your secret sauce, there's some folks out there that are listening and probably thinking, well, wait a second now. It looks like Frank, he's an advisor, so he's got the chops, he's got the experience, and he's got the schooling behind him, the education behind him to be able to advise people. So people are coming to him, or he's built, a database, or at the very least, a tribe or a group of friends that know, like, and trust him. And so now he's going out to the marketplace, and whether these are deals that he has on his own or he finds other syndicators and matches them up and then inserts himself into the projects on the LP or GP side. I think I want to do more of that, Frank. You know what? Tell me how I go about building a business like that or going down the path of being able to be like Frank.
So I think it's, you know, it comes down to aligning yourself or surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals and people that could potentially mentor you. I'm always looking for people that I can learn from. Again, I think our story is a little bit unique because we're postured kind of right in the middle of, you know, traditional, you know, financial investment opportunities, stocks, bonds, index funds, that type of stuff. But we also have, you know, a real estate side of things, and we're always looking for new opportunities, new partners. So there's zero axe to grind with what we are, you know, advising the clients on. We want to give them a wide menu of choices, walk through, again, those advantages, disadvantages, and then let them select what's right for them, right? So, you know, Scott, I followed you guys, and you guys do some nice things, and there's probably some opportunities we might be able to, you know, assist with, participate in potentially. But we look at ourselves as, you know, we spent a lot of time and money and energy over the last 10, 15 years kind of building a platform where we invest, and we've kind of got several layers of, you know, protection, due diligence. You know, nothing in life is risk-free, but once we kind of go through and we underwrite a lot of these deals and say, hey, you know what, this is pretty conservative, let's look at worst case scenarios and let's put something where preservation of principles first. And, you know, can we reliably count on this deal to meet our goals and objectives? So we feel like we've done a lot of the heavy lifting on those deals. And then it's a matter of trust, right? So we're meeting individuals who will give us a shot. Either they're meeting us for the first time or they know other investors that have had successful deals with us. And, you know, then it's just about following through with our promise.
Well, Storage Nation, the secret sauce is just what Frank mentioned. And if you didn't catch it, I'll just summarize it. It's he's been in business for a number of years. He's got a number of folks he's invested with that he's performed for and performed with. And they know, like, and trust him. And as the African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. And so leveraging through his platform, the people that have come alongside of him that he's done well by, and that he's done that they have done well with Frank allows him and enables him to be able to continue to move forward with other folks and to get involved in more deals. And, you know, Frank, I think you would probably agree with me in that, you know, the older we get, the wiser we get, the more experienced we are in this industry. To me, life seems too short to try to continue to go off with testing new relationships in many instances. I mean, we're always adding to folks that we invest alongside, but in terms of folks that we invest with or in, that pool continues to get smaller, and that's because some folks go by the wayside. And I think there's a lot of merit in folks being able to, you know, follow you because of your track record, your history, but then also more importantly, your relationships of the syndicators and the folks that are the jockeys that are running these deals. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, again, we're not perfect. We've learned the hard way, you know, in the past on deals. And again, you know, we've built strong relationships that we trust and we believe in and have financial scale and a, you know, really strong track record. So we feel like, you know, through, you know, us kind of doing the litmus test on a lot of the different companies we've partnered with over the years, we've kind of got a best of both worlds, our best in class, in a portfolio of different options for new investors to look at.
Well, so there's a lot of options out there, and you could also argue that there are fewer options out there because I think there, in many cases, the good syndicators have always been around, but the folks that haven't been around for very long, well, they're packing up and going home, or they're waiting until times are good because they don't know what to do in this environment or in this economic climate that we find ourselves in right now. So for yourself and for your investors, Frank, how do you go about vetting these folks? How do you reduce the risk when you're looking at beginning to work with a new syndicator, another promoter, or a new developer in an asset class that you're testing out?
Well, we cross-reference with a lot of other people that we've worked with. We meet with their management teams. We look at every deal uniquely in itself. We never rubber stamp a deal based on a relationship, but you know, we do everything from, you know, the full-blown financial underwriting, environmental testing. We go visit with the management. We talk to the, the people on the streets that are managing the deal. You know, we do a lot of demographic studies to really say, hey, is this storyline important? And I'd say the markets that we work in are you know, typically pro-growth, pro-business, tax-favored states. So I think that's important. So we know the markets that we're in intimately well. You know, I'd say we do a lot in the kind of Sun Belt region. You know, I'd say everywhere from Texas, Florida, Charleston, Nashville, Richmond, Charlotte, you know, Georgia, a little bit in Arizona. But we're, you know, we're staying away from some of those states that are really difficult to navigate and deliver. So we've kind of found the markets that we know the key decision makers, and we know the markets well, and people are moving to those states. And I think that's a big driver on success, right?
Yeah. The sunshine states or the smile states, as we call them, the states that if you visit or live there, you smile because they're nice and warm and they're near water. And that's been our focus as well. And so let's talk about so you're investing in a number of different asset classes, Frank, and you know, this is the Self Storage Up podcast. So tell me what you like about self storage and what your holdings and your experiences look like in investing in this asset class.
Yeah, so we've done a variety of different self storage deals, many of which are in those markets. You know, self storage I think is a really sticky, resilient asset class if you can find the right opportunity in the right market. You know, in our experience, if you can scale it and you know how to manage it the right way, it's, you know, again, it's a asset class that performs well in good and bad environment. You know, I think, you know, it's good to kind of look back over the last 5, 6, 7 years, and when economy was booming, maybe pre-COVID, you had everybody you know, buying the fancy toys and upscaling their houses and, you know, had the need for storage. And then, you know, things are uncertain right now. Hopefully it doesn't get much worse. But, you know, once you accumulate all those items, even though you might downsize, retire, consolidate. You're not going to get rid of all the things that you've accumulated over the years. So it's been an asset class that we've, you know, we've done well. And a lot of times we'll partner and maybe package a student housing deal and a self-storage deal that are in close proximity. And, you know, when it's your children and they're doing what they need to do, oftentimes the parents have to step in and help facilitate that. So we've had some good successes where we've kind of packaged two assets close by to each other, and that's worked out well.
Good. Well, as we wind down here, Frank, let's take a little a side trip. Let's take a little detour. Tell me about the best investment in real estate that you've ever made.
I think we bought some waterfront dirt that was in kind of like the Fenwick Island, Delaware space. And at the time, this was, I was actually a kid, so I'll say I was riding along shotgun, but it was my father's move. But we bought a piece of raw land that was north of Ocean City, Maryland. And there's drones. Yeah, it's not so much drone footage, probably helicopter footage of how barren and how far away this was from the middle of nowhere, but it was waterfront. And ultimately, if anybody's familiar with Ocean City, Maryland and Delaware beaches at this point in time, that piece of land that we paid relative peanuts for is now worth, you know, tens of millions. But I remember the stories of how many people, you know, ridiculed him for buying this piece of land in the middle of nowhere. It was going to be a lost cause. And that was probably our biggest home run from a, you know, risk standpoint, real estate investment.
Well, what else, what are the lessons that you pulled down from dear old dad over the years served you well along the path?
Yeah, I think just playing for a rainy day. I learned a lot working for him, and ultimately family businesses are tough. And, you know, we were on the verge of killing each other, but so I walked away from the family business. But just staying conservative, planning for a rainy day, keeping money, you know, on the sidelines, diversification, you know, all those different things that I think, you know, people hear. But and keep your dollars working for you. You know, don't get so conservative that you're, you know, not continuing to make those dollars work. And my goal has always been to, you know, try to get my passive income to exceed my active income. And I think once you get to that point, you really have financial freedom.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's back to the basics. And, you know, it isn't always sexy to hear those, the good foundational financial principles that you put in place to not only ensure your, you know, security and survival, but, come to find out that's the key to success as well, and being ultra successful as well, because if you don't stay in business, then you can't be successful and take advantage of markets like what we're in right now, because now is the time when, you know, this is where millionaires and billionaires are created, which are the toughest of times for some folks who just weren't prepared and weren't able to take advantage of the opportunities that we're seeing in the marketplace right now.
Absolutely.
Well, so what is, if I could ask Frank, and you don't have to share this, or you don't have to share it in first person, but what is the greatest lesson perhaps you've learned in real estate over the years?
I would just say do your homework. You know, I mean, whether it's real estate or sales in general, like there's a lot of good salesmen out there. And I think when we first got into it, you know, we were quick to trust and take things for granted. And I always say, yeah, never ever assume. So do your homework. And even though somebody tells you something or how things are going to work out, like absolutely, you've got to do your own digging. And you know, we felt that several times early on when we got into deals, and we, you know, we got excited with a fast talker and assumed something was going to be a certain way, and ultimately found out that it wasn't postured pitched accurately to us, and you know, it hurt us. So now we check and double check and triple check every little thing. And I think, again, we rarely ever make the same mistake twice, and I think it's put us in good position where some of the pain and scars that we've suffered over the years, you know, other investors that aren't as seasoned can avoid by partnering with somebody like us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. There is no substitute for due diligence. And if you haven't been to war and you don't have the scar tissue or a limp, getting into a market that we're in right now isn't for the faint. And so absolutely sound advice that you should be looking for and to partner with somebody who has had that experience that you can draw and lean on, because, you know, folks like us, like you and I, Frank, we can see a little further down the road. And, you know, there's merit in that without a doubt. Well, Frank, I want to appreciate you. Frank, I appreciate your time and spending out time with us and sharing your journey with Storage Nation. If you would, first of all, what is the best way for people to be able to get in touch with you and or follow what you're doing?
Yeah, if you guys would like to get in any more information, happy to discuss. We've got some really attractive opportunities, some really tax-favored, strong income streams. We've got some tax-deductible deals that are available. There's never a better time to take a look at our opportunities, and happy to discuss with anyone that's out there. I would suggest going to our website, www.revxwealth.com. You could fill out a form or an inquiry, and we'll contact you as soon as possible.
Fantastic, Frank. Now, one last thing before we end for today. What is a book that you have read that has had probably the most impact on you, or maybe a book that you've gifted to to people more than any other book?
I would say of late, I've been reading a lot of Grant Cardone, like 10X Real Estate. Like, I've kind of gotten hot on some of the things in terms like a marketing standpoint and really doing some things that are outside my comfort zone. So I've read probably 4 or 5 Grant Cardone books, in a row. And, you know, I'd say a year or two ago, I thought he was a lot of fluff, but there is some a lot of truth to what he's doing.
Well, Storage Nation, you have been spending time with Mr. Frank Hanna, and as I said, our stories are very similar. Our paths are almost identical. Frank going out into different asset classes, but also doing the same things that that we've been doing, which is looking for opportunities, bringing along our tribe, folks that know, like, and trust us. Getting involved in deals that make sense across the landscape and taking along our folks with us as well, and all doing it all in a tax favorable manner. And also, Frank, I have not necessarily Grant Cardone, but this year I began reading different books, one being called Amp It Up, which is really just, I guess, maybe the place that Grant operates from, which is Amped Up, and increasing my speed and having increasing the sense of urgency in my own business, and just to make sure that I'm firing on all cylinders this year.
Yeah, no, I love it. I agree with it.
All right. Well, Storage Nation, you've been spending time with myself and Frank. Frank, I appreciate you so much. Thanks so much for your time. And for the rest of you, we will catch you all on the flip side.
Hey, gang. Wait, 3 things before you leave. First, don't forget to follow the South Storage Podcast and turn on your notifications so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram. And don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit follow on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us.